Such as what?
Well, once we had a guy here whose wife made him empty the garbage pail in the barrel every night, and believe it or not, it began to depress him. One night, he told her to take the damn garbage out herself, and the next day he hid again.
No, nothing like that.
Pop's advice was more practical. Roy visited the manager in his office after the next fruitless game.
What do I have to do to get out of this? Roy asked moodily.
Pop looked at him over his half-moon specs.
Well, nobody can tell you exactly, son, but I'd say right off, stop climbing up after those bad balls.
Roy shook his head. I don't think that's it. Pop looked grimly at Wonder Boy.
Don't you think you ought to try another stick for a change? Sometimes that'll end up a slump.
Roy wouldn't hear of it. Wonder Boy made all of my records with me, and I'm staying with him. Whatever is wrong with me, and not my bat. Pop looked miserable, but didn't argue. The other knights were once more afflicted by bonehead plays, failing to step on base on a simple force, walking off the field with two out as the winning run scored from first, attempting to stretch singles into triples, and they were not ashamed to blame it all on Roy. It didn't take the fans very long to grow disgusted with their antics. Some of them agreed it was Roy's fault for jinxing himself and the team. Otto Zipp reappeared like a bad dream with his loud voice and pesky tutor venomously hooting Roy into oblivion. Seeing all this, Pop was darkly furious.
Oh, it's the gosh damn bat, he roared one forenoon in the clubhouse. When will you get rid of that dang Wonder Boy and try some other stick?
Never, said Roy.
Then rest your ass on the bench.
So Roy sat out the game on the far corner of the bench from where he could watch Memo, lovelier than ever, in a box up front, in the company of two undertakers, the smiling one-eyed Gus and Mercy, whose lead that night would read,
Hobbs is benched. The All-American out has sunk the Knights into second division.
The morning they came into Chicago, Roy shared a cab with Pop and Red. As the cab pulled up before the hotel, a wild-eyed man in shirt sleeves rushed up to them.
Any of you guys Roy Hobbs?
Oh, that's him,
Pop said grimly, heading into the hotel with Red. No autographs. Roy ducked past the man.
Oh, Jesus God, Roy, he cried in a broken voice. Don't pass me by, for the love of God.
What do you want? Roy stared.
Roy, you don't know me, the man sobbed. My name's Mike Barney. I don't want a thing for myself, only a favor for my boy, Pete. He was hurt in an accident playing in the street. They operated on him for a broken skull, and he ain't doing so good. The doctor says he ain't fighting much.
Mike Barney's mouth twisted, and he wept.
Pete's a fan of yours, Roy. Yesterday they let me go in and see him, and I said to Pete, you told me you'd sock a homer for him in the game tonight. After that, he sort of smiled. They're going to let him listen a little tonight, and I know if you'll hit one, it'll save him.
Well, why did you say that for? Roy said bitterly. The way I am now, I couldn't hit the side of a barn. Holding Roy's sleeve, Mike Barney fell to his knees.
Oh, please, you got to do it.
A crowd had collected and was watching them. I will do the best I can if I get the chance. Roy hurried into the lobby. But Pop had other plans.
Oh, you're still on the bench, Roy, unless you put that Wonder Boy away and use a different stick.
Roy shook his head, and Pop gave the lineup card to the ump without his name on it. When Mike Barney, sitting a few rows behind the box above third base, heard the announcement, his face broke out in a sickish sweat. It was a clear, warm night, and the stands were just about full. Though unhappy not to be playing, Roy, for no reason he could think of, felt better in his body than he had in a week. Mike Barney was directly in his line of vision and sometimes stared at him. Roy's gaze went past him, farther down the stands, to where a young black-haired woman, wearing a red dress, was sitting at an aisle seat in short left. He could clearly see the white flower she wore pinned on her bosom. She seemed to spend more time craning to get a look into the Knights' dugout, at him, he could swear, than in watching the game. She interested him, and he would have liked a close gander at her. In the eighth, on a double and sacrifice, Pop worked a runner around a third. The squeeze failed, so he looked around anxiously for a pinch hitter. Catching Roy's eye, he said, as Roy had thought he would,
Well, take a decent stick and go on up there.
Roy didn't move. There was a commotion in the lower left field stands. This lady in the red dress, whoever she was, had risen, and standing in a sea of gaping faces, seemed to be searching for someone. Then she looked toward the Knights' dugout. Roy couldn't stand it any longer. Placing Wonder Boy on the bench, he rose and stood abjectly in front of Pop. Pop looked up at him.
Well, you win, he said. Go on in.
Roy gulped. With my own bat? Pop nodded and gazed away.